Before moving to Illinois, I lived in an area in California called the Inland Empire, which was racially diverse. Representation was all around me. My community included Mexican kids, Native American kids, biracial kids, kids from all sorts of backgrounds. And I was never the only girl of color in my classroom. I was exposed to so many cultures living in our community, and I didn't know anything different from diversity. At 11, I thought the rest of the world was experiencing the same America as I was. So, moving to a town that was far from diverse felt like moving to an entirely new country. When we finally got settled into Illinois, our family stuck out like a sore thumb. The town was predominantly white. The second largest group was Latinx, but they were still a small percentage of the population. I was thrust into a new experience of being the only one. I was the only Black student or student of color in my classes and on my block. Quick cues. Have you ever been the only one? How did that make you feel? For the first time in my life, I was the only Black girl. I had no idea how much being the only one would dictate how some of my teachers would treat me, or who wanted to date me, or the words my white friends would use because they heard them in a rap song. I quickly learned the beauty standards of rural white America, and they didn't include a Black is Beautiful campaign. Now don't get me wrong, everybody wanted to be my friend. I was the new shiny Black girl, and it was cool for them to finally have a Black friend. When we arrived, we moved into a small one-bedroom apartment that happened to place my family at one of the most affluent schools in town. Almost 99% of the students were white, and their parents or guardians were doctors, nurses, and teachers. My parents did not have those types of jobs at the time, and we didn't have that type of money. And with all of these changes I was experiencing, it was the first time I felt ashamed of where we lived and what we didn't have. Before we moved to Illinois, I had no idea we were what some might consider working poor. In this new place, imposter syndrome started to creep in. And if you don't know what imposter syndrome is, I will tell you more about that in later chapters. Back in the day, we didn't have a fancy name to call it, but I would soon understand the shame associated with being in the free lunch line when my friends were not, or going on my 8th grade graduation trip to Six Flags with less than $20 in my pocket. Even the drinks cost more than that, when most of my classmates had $50 or more to spend. I learned how to navigate uncomfortable conversations about money and say, "Nah, I don't see anything I want," while secretly starving or hoping my friends would offer me some of theirs. I wish I had known that not having souvenir and snack money had nothing to do with my worth as a person. I later learned that I have control over how I see and feel about myself. We will talk about that too as you work through this book. When I lived in California, during lunchtime, my classmates each had different types of food inside their lunchbox, and I had never been judged for the meals that my family would pack for me to eat. But in Illinois, I was suddenly being made fun of because of the fried chicken my mom packed for me at my new school. One of my favorite things to eat was and is my dad's fried chicken, and now that same meal had me wanting to crawl under the lunch table because of some of the stupid things my classmates would say about Black people and fried chicken. I didn't know there was some lunch etiquette that I should have been aware of until my white classmates pointed out the differences between my food and theirs. And not in a way that made me feel good about myself, but that left me sometimes hating my new life and my new friends. I went from loving my life because I felt such a strong sense of belonging to feeling alienated and isolated. The other kids in Illinois had never had exposure to families that didn't look like them, and I had to bear the cost of their ignorance. It was a burden I learned to carry as a child, and it would affect me for the rest of my life. I dealt with so many new emotions that boiled down to socioeconomic factors and being a Black girl in a small white town. Of course, at that age, I just thought life was so unfair to Black girls. And maybe you think it's still unfair. Unfortunately, as my white friends lived out their teenage years wearing rose-colored glasses, I kept feeling the unfairness all the way through. I left high school, and by then, I didn't realize how much damage had been done.